there are two types of wisdom. According to this passage, we find two types of wisdom mentioned in the Scriptures. There is what we would call a wisdom from above. You could call it a heavenly wisdom, a divine wisdom, or the wisdom of God that He bestows upon His people. And then you have a wisdom from below. I guess if you could call it wisdom, it's wisdom from below is what it is. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the wisdom from below. But as we begin this message, I have a few questions to ask you to consider as we go through this message here this morning. Which wisdom do you have? That which is from above or that which is from below? Or which wisdom do you seek? That which is above or that which is below? Or here's another way to put it. Which wisdom directs your steps as far as your conduct and as you go through life? So to begin with, we'll go to James chapter 3, and then we're going to describe wisdom again as we get into this message. So James chapter 3, I'll begin reading in verse 13. He says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show it out of a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you've given us. And as we consider this passage this morning, help us to see your wisdom, the wisdom from above. And Lord, help us to seek that, whether it's seeking it and making sure we're saved or seeking it after we're saved as we live for you. I pray you'll bless our time together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have two thoughts for you from this passage. We're going to talk about, first, the characteristics of what I would call the wisdom from below, or worldly wisdom is how I'm going to term it this morning, worldly wisdom. We're going to talk about the characteristics of worldly wisdom, and then we're going to talk about the consequences, the results of worldly wisdom. Whether one person has it or several people have it, there are some consequences. There are results of living after the things of the world. And that's what we're going to talk about. So let's get into this. First, let me describe wisdom again. Knowledge is information. That's what knowledge is, information. And by the way, knowledge is good. It's good to have information. And we live in a generation of information. We can have knowledge of almost anything, and you can have it at your fingertips. You know, I could probably ask a question, and now if I said no phones or no tablets, there might be some who struggle with. But if I don't say that, you could probably get an answer, some of you, within just a few seconds of asking the question, because we can get information quickly online now. It's just, and it's a blessing, I think, for the most part. But we have access to much information, and because of that, we can have knowledge. That's what knowledge is. Now, wisdom is the use of knowledge. That's what wisdom is. See, you can have knowledge and not use it. I have a friend, a good friend who grew up with, and we both went to high school together. Eventually, we went different ways in college, but we stayed in touch. And he often jokes around. He goes, "I got a nice piece of paper on my wall," he goes, "that I do nothing with." And he's talking about his college degree. Basically, he got a college degree and ended up going a different direction. And he just jokes about it. He enjoys having it, but he says, "You know," he goes, "I had all that knowledge. I was going to go do this, but now I'm doing something else." And that's not bad. I'm not saying that's negative, but that's basically him saying, "I have knowledge in a field. I just don't use that knowledge in that field anymore." See, that's knowledge. Wisdom is using that knowledge. And folks, we want to make sure that the knowledge we receive in this world we use wisely, as far as God's wisdom, not worldly wisdom. And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. So, knowledge informs and wisdom directs. Okay, knowledge tells us things. Wisdom tells us how to use those things correctly. And before we get into this, we're talking about two different types of wisdom. You know, you could take two people. Someone who loves the Lord, has a heart after God, and then someone who has no interest in God, and has a heart after the world. You can show them the same information, and sometimes they can come to two completely different conclusions, simply based upon the wisdom that they're seeking. For example, you could show someone, you could take them, those two people. Let's say we have someone who loves the Lord, knows the Lord, someone who has no desire to know God. You could take them out into the world today, and you could show them, both of them, the same I guess say, environment, show them everything, and the person that loves the Lord may look and say, you know, what a wonderful creation this is. God has made a wonderful world for us to live in. Even though I know it's been tainted by sin and the flood and other things, it's a blessing to have this world where we're, for the most part, we have four seasons. I think Arkansas has a long summer, but we still have four seasons. Someone who doesn't know the Lord may look and say, wow, it's a place, but you know, we've got there through evolution and all these other things. And it's based upon the wisdom that they have, the wisdom that they're seeking, the worldly wisdom, and they may come to different conclusions. Someone may look at the problems in the world. A Christian may look and say, you know what, the problems are there because people are sinners. They don't know God. They're not living in the Lord. Whereas someone who's lost may look at those same problems and say, well, you know, they're good. They're just trying to be better. Let's just hang on and wait for them. Folks, you see different conclusions based upon the wisdom that someone might have. And so this morning, let's look at the wisdom from below, okay? It gives us here in James chapter 4, in verse 15, it gives us basically the description here, the characteristics of this wisdom. It says that wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now, verse 14 tells us bitter envying and strife. We're going to come back to that because we find it again in verse 16. Verse 15 gives us the characteristics of this wisdom from below. First, notice it says it's earthly. That tells us this wisdom is of the world. It's not from God. It's not from heaven. And if it's of the world, you know that leads us to the next step? It's the product of a sinful nature. Have you ever thought about that? The wisdom of the world is the result of what men and women with a sinful nature have come up with. They've come up with these things and said, this is what it is. This is how it should be. And that's the wisdom of the world. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 8 that Adam sinned and his sinful nature passed upon all those that have come after him. In other words, we're born with a sinful nature, all of us. I'd like to say you could go back to the nursery and that can be proven within a little bit of time if you're around toddlers too long, because they even exhibit that sinful nature. It's just natural for them to want. You don't have to teach them how to take something from somebody. You got to teach them how to share, because it's in their nature just to say, hey, I want it, I'm going to take it. And all of us are like that. We were like that when we were younger. It's a sinful nature that we have inherited. And so the sinful nature, I think, is best summed up with what we would call self-will. I will do this, or I will do that. I want this, or I want that. You know, Jesus Christ was opposite. Everything was about the will of the Father, not about His will. And that's where we find the difference. You see, the sinful nature is, I will do this. And there's no consideration of God, no consideration of His ways. Even if you know it or have heard of the law, you may say, I don't care, I'm going to do this because I want to do this. And earthly wisdom focuses on the world and its ways. It doesn't go beyond the world. It doesn't look to heaven. It doesn't consider God. It doesn't consider eternity. It considers right now. This is what I see, this is what I like, and so this is what I'm going to do. That's worldly wisdom. It's earthly, based upon the world and the things that you find in this world today. So it's the product of a sinful nature. But here's another thought on earthly wisdom. It exalts mankind. It exalts mankind. Have you ever noticed that all of the theories and the philosophies of this world lift up man and woman, is what they do? Let me just give you a few examples. Humanism, that's a philosophy today. And that's, you know, at its core. You know, you got different forms. But at its core, man or woman has the power within to lift themselves up, to be better, to do good. And the focus is on basically being better, doing good. And that's what humanism is. It's just at its core, it's focused on mankind. We talked a little bit about evolution, but when you think about evolution, this is a theory. And when you think about evolution, isn't it interesting? Who's the highest form? Man. Everyone evolves to that point and then stops. That's the teaching. I don't believe that, but that's the teaching of evolution. Man and women are the highest form. You know, when you consider all the false religions in the world, men and women's works, their works are good. At least that's what they teach. They're good and acceptable to God. It's exalting mankind's works. How good we are, how great we are. You see, what we find is worldly wisdom exalts mankind. It lifts up mankind to make us feel better and make us think that we're okay. Also, here's another one. It focuses on the world. That's what earthly wisdom does. It focuses on the world. temporal possessions. What I mean by that is it focuses on things that will not last. They're going to be gone someday. Earthly objects. Earthly objects will all be a thing of the past for all of us at some point. We'll leave them here. All of our earthly treasures will be gone. But not just the objects. How about earthly praise and earthly power? Those things will be left behind too. But that's what worldly wisdom focuses on. Things of the world. Things of the earth. And it gives no consideration to things that are beyond, or what we would say, the things of God. And that's what earthly wisdom is. So let's go back to James chapter 3 and see what it says here. It says here in verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above. He says it's earthly. So it's earthly. It's of the world. But notice what it says second. It says sensual. Now this is interesting. Basically it means of the flesh. It's sensual. Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, because I want us to see a few other verses that tie in with this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And if you're taking notes, I'm going to just read the first few verses here. And in this passage, we have Paul dealing with what we would call carnal Christians, Christians that he believed were saved, but they were living unto themselves or living unto the world. And in verse 1, he says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Isn't it interesting? The same things that found in James chapter 3. Envy, strife, divisions, he says here. Are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? So I'm going to stop there. Here's what we find. The word carnal literally means flesh, is what it means. Now, it's not necessarily referring to what we'd call physical flesh of our body. You know, you could grab and pinch, but it's referring to the sinful nature of the flesh. You see, the carnal man, the person who's carnal, is fleshly, ruled by their passions. You may say, well, what are our passions? It could be anything. Our fleshly appetites are going to direct us and control us. By the way, you know, there have been a lot of what we would call advertisers and marketers who work on this, by the way. You ever notice the impulse aisle? That's what they call it when you go up to check out, and everything there all of a sudden looks a lot better than it did when it was back when you were shopping. They put that there to try to get some sales real quick, impulse buys. Usually those are reactions. We see that, say, oh yeah, I got to have that. Now sometimes you might find something that you forgot you really needed, but for the most part they're things that play on the flesh. They appeal to us in certain ways. And so what we find, the Bible tells us that the wisdom from below is fleshly. It's sensual. It's carnal. It's of our flesh. Basically, it appeals to our appetites and what we might want. Jude chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, he says something here that is interesting. Now, Jude only has one chapter, so it's right before Revelation there in your New Testament, Jude chapter 1. And this passage is interesting because you pretty much find something similar in Peter. Says something real similar. But in verse 8, I'm going to go back a little bit so we see what he's talking about. He says, likewise, also these filthy dreamers. If you go even back further, he's talking about angels which have fallen. He's talking about people of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he says, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and they speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And verse 10, but these, going back to these filthy people, he says here, they speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally. Notice how he describes them, as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Isn't that an interesting description of mankind, of people? Now we don't like to think of that, obviously, but that's an interesting description, and Peter does the same thing. Now, he's not referring necessarily to Christians as much as he's referring to those of the world, those that are living after their flesh. And he describes them, he says, as brute beasts. That's how they're acting. In other words, they're not animals, but they're living like it. They're being directed by their passions like brute beasts. Now, let me give you some thought on beasts here a little bit, all right? Have you ever thought of, normally you might not think of this when you're coming to a Sunday morning message, but let me give you some thoughts on beasts, because that's what he's talking about here. Do you know beasts, animals? First off, they're emotional. And they're ruled by their passions. Man, you can take any animal, and it's like they flip a switch sometimes. You know, they can be, you know, laying around real easy, and next thing you know, they're on fire, going somewhere full speed, going after another animal or something. It's just, they're real emotional. Also, when you think of beasts, they're selfish. They're selfish. You don't see them giving gifts, handing out presents to each other. They're busy taking things from each other. That's what they're doing. They're very selfish. Also, they're possessive. You know, when an animal or beast gets something, they want to keep it. Sometimes you got to fight them to get something away from them. Especially, you know, you may have a pet that has something they're not supposed to. They may run away from you just to keep what they have. And so they're very possessive. Also, beasts are aggressive. You know, they go into a rage. They feel attacked. Or if they, you know, want something, they can go into a rage instantly. Plus, they're cruel. If you look at animals, animals are cruel. Now, I know I'm not talking about your favorite pet, but, you know, animals in this world, they can be cruel. I mean, they can cast off, you know, one of their offspring without even giving a thought to it. They can be cruel. And here's the last one. They're very ambitious. You know, if you put animals together, eventually one of them is going to rise to the top. And a lot of times it's through battling and fighting and it's back and forth. They're very ambitious. They're going to kind of rise to the top. You know what's sad? This kind of describes some of the conduct in our country today. We're seeing this. Folks, let me tell you this. I'm not saying people are animals. I'm saying people are acting like it when they are following their passions and they're following this worldly wisdom. And by the way, this worldly wisdom is teaching people they're animals. They're telling them, you know, evolution, that's what it's teaching. It's telling someone you've come from an animal. You know the way I think? You tell someone long enough, they're going to believe you. And don't be surprised when they begin to act like it, because you've taught them that and you told them that. Now, it's not true. The Bible says we come from God, created in His image. But you see, we have a generation that's being taught or has been taught in school, hey, you come from this. You're just nothing more than an animal. Folks, we're seeing them act like it now in some occasions. Not everybody, but we're starting to see some of this. But here's my caution to everyone here. We go back to Corinthians. You know, Paul's talking to Christians. So here's the caution for all of us. This tells us that any one of us, even as Christians, if we begin to follow that worldly wisdom, then we can act in the same way. And that's the warning to us, to make sure we're seeking the wisdom from above, that we're seeking the ways of the Lord. Because guess what? Any one of us is susceptible to doing something in sin, and we begin to follow the wisdom of the world or listen to things of the world or put our sights on the things of the world, guess what? We can become selfish. We can become aggressive. We can begin to act like the world because we can act in the flesh. We still have that flesh with us. And so we must make sure that we are looking to God, seeking His wisdom. Now, this morning, let's move on. Let's go back to James chapter 3. Let's see the next one here. We find in verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual. Now, this last one gives me chills when I think about it. It's devilish, he says. Devilish. It's demonic. It's satanic, is what this wisdom of the world is. It's not just bad. It's wicked and evil, devilish. You know, here is where we find, I think, where this wisdom originates from. See, everything originates from something. The world itself, God has created this world. The wisdom from above comes from God. The wisdom from below, or worldly wisdom, comes from the devil. That's where it originates from. He's the author and he's the source. And I believe all those that are with him, evil spirits, demons, they're part of this worldly wisdom. And when you think of the wisdom of the world, at its core, it's satanic, is what the Bible is telling us. Oh, it may appear to be good. And by the way, the devil's sneaky. He's going to throw some good in there with it just to deceive. So it's going to appear to be good, and there are going to be some good things with it. But at its core, it's evil and it's wicked because it exalts man. It puts down God. It doesn't follow the Lord. It doesn't consider Him or His ways. You know, there's some things about the devil we need to remember. The Bible tells us that he's a deceiver. It tells us he's a murderer. And it tells us that he seeks to destroy. Now, the thing about the devil, he's also intelligent. And we've got to keep that in mind. And, by the way, he has a lot more experience than all of us ever will. He's been at this a while. Now, he's not almighty. He's nowhere close to God, even though he thinks he is. He's nowhere near that. But, folks, he's a dangerous enemy. We've got to understand that. And we need to understand that this worldly wisdom, not only is it dangerous, but it's of the devil. It's destructive. It's what it is. That's where it leads to. And you know the devil, what he's a master at, what we find in the scriptures? He's a master at creating chaos and destruction. He's good at that. He's excellent at that. He has created that in cities. He's created that in nations. He's created that in churches through the years, in families. He's disrupted and he's destroyed. And that's what he does. And so the wisdom he offers is going to be just like him. All right? It's going to be destructive, as we see here, talk about here in a minute, the consequences. That's the type of wisdom that he's going to bring along. And that's the type of wisdom that he's going to give. And so worldly wisdom, at times, may appear to be good, but you know, worldly wisdom will never produce joy in the heart. Amen. It might make you feel good for a moment and make things seem to be okay, but it's not going to give you that joy that God can give. It's not going to give you that peace and that contentment that comes with knowing the Lord and seeking after Him. The Bible talks about the peace that passeth all understanding that God can give us. Man, that's the peace that you can't explain to somebody. You can just say, hey, God's just given me peace of mind in this situation. God's given me the peace in my heart of knowing He's in control of my life, that He's going to take care of things. The world can't offer that. It doesn't offer that. Only God can give that. The world offers chaos. The world offers problems, and the world offers troubles. You know, basically the world will leave you wanting more. That's what this worldly wisdom does. It leaves people wanting more, knowing that they're missing something, and they're going to seek, looking for more. Hopefully they find the true wisdom from God. But you know, there's no hope in worldly wisdom. There's just troubles and trials. Now, before I move on, let me just make this comment. I'm not going to get too political this morning. At least I don't think so. This is the problem that's happening in our country today. There are a lot of people that are acting upon this worldly wisdom. And as we'll see here in a minute, the consequences are what we see today. Let's go to this now. Let's go to the consequences. Here it says here in verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Now we go back to the beginning of this. He says in verse 14, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." So I want to talk about the consequences now of this worldly wisdom. Okay, I think we see a lot of it in our country today, in our world today, but we may even see it in families or in homes. If we're walking not after God, we may even see it in our life sometimes. But let's make sure it's not there. First one, it says it's envious, or envy is what it talks about. Now that word envy means to be jealous of others. And you notice at the beginning it talks about the bitter envying. Okay, and it tells us it comes from the heart. There's a bitter envying there. Basically, when you're jealous of others, you desire, or jealousy basically desires personal gain at another's expense. As when someone is envious, they want what someone else has, perhaps, and they don't care what happens to that other person as long as they get what they want. It's to want something and not mind if someone else suffers for you taking it. That's what envy is. Someone put it this way, it's hatred of others and self-pity for self. In other words, you look and say, you know what, they have this, I don't. I don't want them to have that. I want it. And that's what envy is. And that's the consequences of this worldly wisdom. We run into here, the Bible says it's envy. Someone put it this way, envy is extreme selfishness, is what it is. It's gone to the limit. Basically, when one wants everything to go their way, they're envious. They want everything their way. And they desire what others have. I mean, they just deep desire from the heart, as the Bible says. And as long as things go their way, hey, they're fine. It's good. Or as long as they get what they want, everything's okay. But when they don't receive what they want, or they don't get what someone else has and they want it, then that envy sets in, and they become envious. And that hatred fills their heart. And that's when those problems begin to come out. You know, Proverbs chapter 14. Let's see what Solomon had to say about this. He had a proverb on envy here, and we'll look at Proverbs chapter 14, and I'm going to read verse 30. Proverbs 14, verse 30. It says here, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." Envy is the rottenness of the bones. You know what this indicates here? A few things on envy. First, envy is destructive. You know, when it refers to rottenness, it refers to something that has rotted. Have you ever seen rotten wood? You go pick it up and it just crumbles and falls apart. It's just gone. It's just destroyed. Now let's compare that to envy in our life. That's what envy can do to us. Even a Christian, we get envious of others or envious of situations. You know what? It can eat at our hearts and our souls, and it can ruin our lives. Make us bitter, make us angry, make us upset at others because we're envious of what they have. And by the way, envy can sneak into our hearts in many different ways. It can be envious at work. It can be envious in our personal life. It can be envious of someone else's gifts or their talents. We can become envious of many different things. And we just need to be aware of that. And worldly wisdom, that's what it leads to. It leads to envy, wanting what others have. Now, notice the other one it leads to. Let's get back to James chapter 3. It leads to envy, but it also leads to strife. Strife. It tells us here in verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Strife. Now, strife is, the word refers to rivalry. All right, rivalry. Basically, to fight and to quarrel. Someone put it this way, it's a faction. It's anarchy is what it's referring to. Division, faction, fighting to the point of dividing. You know, the Bible tells us that worldly wisdom leads to strife. Division and problems and fighting. Now, let me explain how this happens, okay? Just real quick so we can see it. Now, let's get back to what worldly wisdom is. Basically, worldly wisdom is selfishness. Living for yourself, seeking the things of the world. So, let's say each person is going their own direction. Living for themselves. Doing what they think is best. Doing what they want. Because they're selfish. And they're following the worldly wisdom. By the way, the world does teach that too. Exalt yourself. Live for yourself. Do what feels good. And plenty of other phrases along those lines. And that's what the world teaches. And so let's say someone follows that pattern and they go that direction. Basically, they're going to go the direction that they deem is best. They're going to do what they think is best and what they want. And then let's throw this in there. They're also going to be determined to have their way. Okay? Sensual, fleshly, like beasts. They're going to be determined that they're going to have their way no matter what. Okay? So let's say you put two people together. We can use a marriage relationship. Husband and wife. Both living like that. There's got to be problems eventually. Because they're both living for self. They're both wanting to do what they want to do. They're both living for the things of the world. See, that's where you begin to see strife comes in. Well, then you take that, you can put it in church too. You have members that are worldly, living for things of the world. There's going to be strife. You take a bigger picture, let's put it into our nation. You have people living under themselves, a whole bunch, doing what they want, what they deem as best, following this worldly wisdom, wanting what they want, willing to do anything to get it, not thinking of anybody else, no consideration of others, obviously no consideration of God. You know what you're going to have? You're going to have strife. You're going to have problems. You're going to have what we see around us. You're going to have all this trouble, is what the Bible teaches. And it's a result of worldly wisdom. See, worldly wisdom exalts self. And in this selfish behavior, there's going to be strife. Folks, when you want what you want, and you don't care what anyone else thinks, you're going to rub someone raw at some point. You're going to create problems with somebody. And that's just what this worldly wisdom does. So next, let's move to the third one. It tells us here in James chapter 3, verse 16, "For where envying and strife is," notice he says, "there is confusion and every evil work." So I want to talk about confusion first. So we have this worldly wisdom that produces strife, contention, problems. And he says, you know what's next? Next is confusion. Because when you have this envy and strife there, that's what it leads to. You know what 1 Corinthians tells us? It says that God is not the author of confusion. I'm glad he's not the author of confusion. I'm glad he's the author of truth. Let me give you a few examples how we know, or how it's a blessing to know that God is the author of truth and not confusion. How about we start with salvation? You know, when it comes to salvation, the Bible is pretty clear. We're all sinners. We've all sinned against God. And because of that sin, we've been separated from God. But God loves sinners. God loves the world. And God sent His Son to die on the cross for sinners. And those that recognize their need, and they repent of their sin, believe on Christ for salvation, are saved. The Bible teaches that. You know, it's pretty clear. It really is. The confusion begins to happen when people begin to add all these other teachings in. All these other methods, and well, you got to do this, and you got to do that. All these what we would call unbiblical teachings. That's when confusion comes in. But you know, that confusion is part of the world. It's the worldly wisdom of the world trying to direct or trying to lead. And so what we find is God is not the author of confusion. So that brings us to the next step, and it kind of takes us back to what we've already covered. You know who the author of this confusion is? It's the devil. He's the author of this confusion. He's the one that creates all this chaos. He's the one that tries to confuse people. And through all this worldly wisdom, he's the one who leads to this confusion and creating all this problems. Now, you know also what comes with confusion? When someone is confused, they're easily discouraged. They're disrupted, is what I also call it. Because when you're confused, you're not going to go forward. You're going to just stop. Let me give you an example to illustrate this. I remember driving before I had cell phones and before GPS and all that stuff. And we just used a map best I could. And there were times I remember I'd run into cities, we'd travel, and there'd be cities that, you know what, there's always some construction going on. And you got to start following some different routes. And next thing you know, like, oh man, where are we at? Took a wrong turn here. I missed that sign there. You know what tends to happen? I get confused, or we get confused. You get discouraged sometimes. You can get upset. You can be disrupted. What I mean by that is, instead of getting through a city in 5 minutes, you can end up taking all these different routes and end up going through a city in 2 hours. And that'll lead to upset and anger and everything else. You see, that's what confusion does. It creates problems in someone's life. And that's the result of worldly wisdom. All this confusion creates his problems. Now, let me give you some other thoughts on confusion. You know, the devil's excellent at this, at creating confusion. I think he's done that today in our world. He's done it with some of the false teachings that are out there. Because there are a lot of people, I know some people that have, I guess let's put it this way, they're so confused that they just have no interest in God anymore. They don't. They say, well, I've heard this from here, and I hear that, and I hear this. You know, just I don't want to think about it. And that's the devil. He's created confusion in their hearts. And because that confusion's there, they may be good people. At one time, they may have had real interest. But all of a sudden, that confusion has just caused them to say, no, I'm just not interested right now. Well, we got to pray for them, that they get interested again, and they realize that there's a need, and that there's truth, and it's clear. But see, the devil confuses. But you know what he also does, too? He confuses Christians. I don't know about you, but I've been confused over the past few months in our world. There have been a lot of things going on. In 2020, you think of this virus. Now, let me clarify a few statements here, okay? I don't want to take the wrong thing to go out, but let me just say this. I believe the virus is real, okay? It's real. But a lot of what's going on around the virus, there's a lot of politics, obviously. That happens with everything. The devil's stirring a lot of things. I guarantee he's stirring a lot of trouble. Look how much confusion there is around this. Where did it start? Where did it originate from? What's going to happen? What do we do this? You know, this confusion has led to many. Some people say one thing one day and say something else the next. Or they'll do this and then they'll do completely act different than what they say. You see, that's confusion. Now, I'm not pinning it on any person. I think the devil is just working through all this, is what he's doing. He's using this situation, obviously, to create more problems. There are a lot of churches this morning that are not open today because of all this. The work of the Lord has been hindered through this. And so the devil's at work. He's always active, and it's part of this worldly wisdom. We need to understand that this confusion, folks, is of the devil. And the devil is going to work to produce this. So we have confusion. Here's the last one. Notice it says evil works. Evil works. It says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So eventually, here's what it boils down to. This worldly wisdom will lead to sin and sinful conduct. And when you think about it, that's where it goes. Wisdom from below leads one to live contrary to God. because they're not looking to God, they're not seeking God's will, maybe not trying to follow His ways, and they'll end up going opposite. Now, I could just use this illustration. There have been times I've been confused and I got so upset that I almost began to act worldly, or I did begin to act worldly because I was confused. I got upset and angry. And next thing you know, I'm acting worldly. No seeking the Lord's will, no patience, just reacting out of anger and upset. You see, that's where some of this can lead to. It can lead to evil works. And just when we say evil works, not necessarily going out and creating some big, what we would call wicked crime, but just not living the way God would want us to do. Any sin is evil. And that's what this will lead to. And that's what it produces, is evil works. And so, here's my thought in closing this morning, okay? First, to have wisdom from above. Now, next week, we're going to continue wisdom from above, okay? That's what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about how it's pure, it's peaceful. We're going to start talking about each one of those. But this morning, we're going to end here. We want to make sure we don't have this wisdom from below. We want to have the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that God gives. And by the way, knowledge is information. Wisdom is, if it's wisdom from above, it's the correct use of that information. That's what Solomon had. That's what he desired. Not only did he want knowledge, but he wanted to know how to use it the right way. And that's what I think each of us should desire, that we want to know how to use what God has given us the correct way. Whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's the spiritual walk. We want to be wise in this world. So that wisdom comes from above, not from below. That's kind of the point of this message. If we seek the wisdom of the world, we're going to be let down. We're going to be led the wrong way. We must seek the wisdom that God has to offer. And the only way to seek that, or to have that, is first off to know God. You got to know Him as your Heavenly Father, and you know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how you know God, is through Jesus Christ. And once you have accepted Christ as your Savior, believe, and once you're saved, then you can obviously have that wisdom. You know, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is our wisdom. In other words, when He comes into your heart, He provides that wisdom. And He will guide and direct. You know, I find it interesting that when people are saved, and I can say this for myself, there are times where I don't know the answer necessarily to something. But there are times I know for sure that I shouldn't be doing that. It's just like, I don't know why, but I know, hey, I shouldn't be going that direction, or I shouldn't be involved in that. I think that's just the wisdom that God gives at times. That He'll give you that wisdom as you live and you walk with Him. That He might not give you all the details or all the answers or the explanation, but He's going to give you the wisdom to make a good decision or to go the right way. That's what we want to seek after, and that's what we want. But here's some thoughts, two things here we need to be aware of as a believer. You're saved here this morning. You've accepted Christ. You're saved. I'm going to leave you with two thoughts to hope to encourage you from this message. The first one is, we must make sure that we're not seeking happiness instead of holiness. What I mean by that is, sometimes, and this, the worldly wisdom will tell you to seek after happiness. Go for what pleases you and makes you feel good. You know, the Bible says, no, it says seek to be holy before God. Seek to be holy. Live unto Him. Seek His ways and His will. And then guess what's going to happen? When you do that, then what we would call His joy is going to follow. Now, when you seek happiness, that may change with circumstances. Okay? You may be happy one day, and next thing you know, something happens, and you're not happy the next. But when you seek to be holy before God, you may have a bad day today, great day tomorrow. You're still going to have the joy of the Lord because you're walking with Him, and you're living for Him. So that's the first one. Here's the second one. I guess you can put it in another way this way. Let's seek godliness instead of gain. Okay? Sometimes we seek gain. Worldly gain, earthly gain, instead of seeking to be godly and glorifying the Lord. And let's just make sure, because see, the worldly wisdom is going to say, seek that gain. Try to exalt yourself. Try to lift yourself up. By the way, that's what most of these social media platforms are all about. I'm not going to tell you to go throw them all out. That's just give you a warning on those. A lot of them, they're about self, lifting self up, exalting self. And if you're not careful, it becomes all about you. The Bible says we should seek godliness first. Then guess what? God will give gain to follow. In other words, God's going to provide our needs. God's going to provide. If God wants us to be lifted up, He'll lift us up. If God doesn't want us to be lifted up, He'll keep us where He wants us. And we should be content with that. Instead, sometimes we seek gain, whether it's gain of worldly items or gain of fame or prestige, And then next thing you know, we can get into trouble. See, that's the world teaches seeking gain. So let's make sure we are seeking godliness instead of gain. And let's make sure we're seeking to be holy and to live for the Lord.